Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, one of your hosts from over at FanRagSports.com. And this Thursday edition of Locked On NFL Draft is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Use the promo code Locked On at MyBookie.ag. Today, Trevor will be joining us shortly. He's not on just yet, but he's running a couple minutes behind. But we had to get to recording because we have an awesome special guest in for today. Luke Easterling, who used to host this podcast with me, who is the editor over at the DraftWire USA Today's draft site, one of the best draft guys out there and somebody we always like to have on the show to get their insights on prospects and how the rookies are faring and all that stuff. And Luke, first of all, how are you doing? Because I know your mentions are aflame right now based on a piece that you wrote that Trevor and I completely agree with you on.
I'm eating it up, man. You know that I the tears of the trolls are my lifeblood, and I am have had my fill this morning. I'm full.
Luke, your piece, very interesting piece that you wrote for the DraftWire, and everybody should go check it out, on comparing the differences between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and kind of just contrasting those two as quarterbacks and where we kind of perceive them right now in the realm. And I say we, I use the term loosely because there's the NFL perception, there's your perception, there's analysts, there's different opinions among analysts. What's the biggest difference, do you think, between these two guys and the way maybe you viewed them early on in the season and the way you view them now?
Well, I think what we're seeing is two guys that a lot of people will say, you know, well, neither of these guys, they'll say it separately. Well, Josh Allen, you know, he's being held back by his lack of supporting cast. So you look over and, you know, Lamar Jackson's carrying that team as well. And I think the difference, you know, production doesn't tell us everything, but the difference is in the fact that Lamar Jackson is carrying that team and still putting up 420 yards and four touchdowns a game. And he's doing it against North Carolina State and Florida State and Clemson and Boston College to a certain degree. You know, Josh Allen's struggling against Hawaii. You know, Josh Allen, every time he plays a Power 5 opponent, whether it's, you know, Iowa or Oregon or even BYU, he's just not able to be that guy where if I'm going to take a quarterback in the top 10, if he doesn't have a supporting cast, I want that to be a guy who brings the rest of the supporting cast up to his level and not the other way around. So I just, you know, that's the biggest difference for me is that I wrote in the piece that quarterbacks are developmental all across the board to a certain degree. Every quarterback prospect is going to need some level of development. If that's the case, I look for rare traits and things that can mitigate that development process, that can mitigate those flaws and cover up for them while they develop and while they improve. And I feel like Lamar Jackson has a trait that nobody in this quarterback class has, and it's something that will be able to bail him out while he continues to develop and improve as a passer. And I just don't see that type of thing with Josh Allen. I see a guy who does have some exciting physical tools. He's a big guy. He's athletic. He can throw the ball a mile. Mm-hmm. But that, I feel like we've seen similar players before, and I'm if I'm going to swing for the fences, I guess is what I'm saying, I'm going to bank on a guy that has what Lamar Jackson brings to the table way earlier than I'm going to bank on a guy like Josh Allen developing and reaching his peak, I guess.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. You got the Patriots or the Steelers, Chicago, Detroit. Well, let me tell you this, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts, seriously, just two business days. You know who's going to win, so lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, those that I know, and other fans that I've heard from. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win and they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Make sure you check out that site, guys. Some really cool stuff on the site. A really well-designed, very clear format, really easy to use. And the in-game live betting is the go-to aspect, in my opinion, of MyBookie.ag. Just join now. MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code LODRAFT to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today, and you play, you win, and you get paid as well. So make sure you guys check out that. That promo code is actually Locked On. Promo code Locked On. So make sure you guys check out that promo code. Use it. Check out MyBookie. Some really good stuff from them. I think this is interesting because there's almost two parts of this discussion. It's where we see him as analysts, and then there's where the NFL sees him. And if you look at the NFL and the way they've typically been criticized for taking these big, tall, toolsy type quarterbacks in the past. But I wonder if we're seeing like a little bit of a shift away from that in the NFL. You know, you look at some guys that most of whom had first round hype, but ended up going third round or later than that when the draft actually rolled around. We heard about DeShone Kizer in the first round. We heard about Davis Webb in the first round. You know, looking at later drafts, Christian Hackenberg was rumored first round, still went way too high. Connor Cook was rumored first round, went in the fourth round. Cardale Jones late in the fourth round, very toolsy, big arm type of players. Even Sean Mannion went too high in the third round, but again, it was one of those things where we heard the first round talk. We heard it with Tom Savage. You know, we heard that these guys were going to go a lot higher than they end up going. Zach Mettenberger is another example. Do you think the NFL, the media hypes a lot of these guys up, and then it ends up not being that way when an NFL decision? Not that some local scouts don't want you know Josh Allen to go high, and not that they aren't pushing that agenda, but at the end of the day, when the draft rolls around in April, do you really see an NFL group of decision makers sitting down at a table with their franchise, their future of their franchise on the line, and saying, we're going to go with this quarterback from a non-Power 5 FBS school that has put up horrible numbers, horrible production, horrible tape against the best competition that he's faced with or without a good supporting cast? It was last year, too, even with a better supporting cast. You really see NFL decision makers making that decision with a top 10, top 15 pick?
I mean, nothing would surprise me. That's kind of my line whenever it comes to any draft thing. But, you know, the examples that you outlined right there are kind of the proof that maybe the teams aren't as willing to pull the trigger on a guy like that as some of the analysts who still are kind of, you know, big fans of Josh Allen, or at least even just reporting that there are scouts that they're hearing from, anonymous ones that believe that their team feels that way about Josh Allen. You know, I was on the Bears Wire podcast a couple nights ago with Brian Perez, and he brought up some names. If we're talking about not just projecting NFL success, but projecting draft position, if we're trying to talk about where the NFL will value these two quarterbacks, you look at what Lamar Jackson brings to the table, a raw passer who has a big arm. He's got arm strength, needs to obviously be more accurate, needs to be more consistent with where he puts the ball. But he's got that rare trait, the athleticism to make plays that other guys just can't make while he's developing as a quarterback. And Brian on that podcast mentioned four names that I thought were interesting. He mentioned Mike Vick, obviously. He mentioned Donovan McNabb. He mentioned Robert Griffin III and then Vince Young. And, you know, say whatever you want about the way those guys' careers ended for whatever different reasons, whether it's injuries or whatever. But the NFL valued those guys all within the top three picks. Okay, those are all one, two, or three picks. And whether they ended up being successful or not, I think that shows a trend. Again, it's been a while for some of those guys. I think Griffin was the most recent one a few years ago. But the NFL sees value in that guy. And I think the proof that you put with some of those toolsy guys that we hear a lot about leading up to the draft, and then the NFL doesn't end up valuing them as much as opposed to those four guys who were one, two, or three picks. I got to say that maybe when it rolls around, maybe Lamar Jackson ends up going more where I think he would go as opposed to Josh Allen, because I think that's where the evidence points.
Yeah, I think it's going to be such an interesting discussion, because I do think you're seeing more and more of a shift in the NFL among the best offensive coordinators, you know, using their quarterback's athleticism. You know, I think that a lot of the best offensive minds are using that and enhancing their offense by using that. And I think that,
what a novel concept.
I know, right? It's a copycat league. I think we're going to see that pick up more and more too in the coming weeks. Luke, just two more questions for you, because I know you've got a scoot and you've got a busy schedule. But Sam Darnold was your QB1 coming into the year when you look at your summer rankings, and he was mine as well. And not because I was, at least from my position, I wasn't like head over heels for Sam Darnold, like he's a lock for the top 10. But to me, I just thought this guy has the best potential chance at getting to his ceiling if the growth process happens the way it should. I don't know that it's happened that way for Sam Darnold just yet. I still am excited about his ceiling and his future. Trevor and I have talked about this and disagreed some about what Sam Darnold should do at the end of the season. Where do you see his decision right now, how he's played this season versus where he could go in the draft and what his decision should be as a redshirt sophomore at the end of the year?
You know, I'm of the firm belief that if you have some sort of assurance that you're going to be a top 15, top 10 pick, you're probably better off developing in the NFL than developing another year in the college level, because, you know, especially if you're able to go to a place where you can sit for a little while and acclimate to the NFL game at the same time you would have been facing the same Pac-12 opponents the year before. You know, it's, I feel like you're probably better off doing that. The problem is, how do you get that assurance? And if you don't have it, you know, do you need to go back? You know, do you risk a Matt Barkley situation where, you know, maybe you get an injury and you go from being a potential number one pick, at least that's what we thought, to being a fourth round pick and a career backup, you know? So there's going to be a lot that goes into, you know, everybody's situations, and so many variables go into all that. But I think Darnold is the poster child for this entire quarterback class. This whole offseason we talked about how rare this quarterback class could be, and how it could be the quarterback version of last year's running back class with the depth and the star power and all these guys that could be franchise quarterbacks. We could see six first-round quarterbacks, first time since 1983. And all these guys have done this season is show us how human they are. Mm-hmm. It's not that we haven't seen the flashes. It's not that we haven't seen the stuff that makes people excited about what these guys can be. What we have seen is just how far away everybody in this class still is from being a can't-miss type quarterback prospect, and that's what's going to make this process fascinating to me. Who's going to come back for another year and try to hone their skills? Who's going to end up making the jump early, and who's going to time well and throw well? Who's going to be – I think it's just going to come down a lot to the interviews and the fits and how a guy fits a coaching staff and a scheme. That's going to play a huge part in who goes – you know, one, it could be an Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers situation. We have Alex Smith going at one and Aaron Rodgers going at 24 or whatever. And, you know, years down the road, you kind of figure out how that works out. But it's going to be a fascinating class just because we've seen that there's no blue chip guy in this class. There's a lot of talent, a lot of upside, but still a lot of flaws that need to be worked out. And these guys are going to have to figure out whether they want to do that development at the next level or do it in college for another year.
Yeah, and you led into my last question really well, and it was just going to be about, like, you know, this quarterback class in general came in with so much hype. It was rumored to be, you know, the next great class and all that. And even as I sat down and watched tape over the summer, I just found myself saying, a lot of good things are going to have to happen. A lot of growth is going to have to happen this season for this class to be where people want it to be. And I don't, but like you said, I don't believe that's really happened for most of the top guys. I would say Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson are probably the two guys that should clearly have improved their stock, in my opinion. The rest, not sure where I stand. So I ask you this, knowing that your evaluation process isn't complete, and even though we're most of the way through the college football regular season, there's still a lot of good games to be played, a lot of tape to be studied. But right now, as you currently see it, do you feel like this past year's quarterback class, the way you felt about it pre-draft, is going was a class that you had a higher opinion of than how you feel currently about the 2018 potential quarterback class?
Yeah, I definitely feel a little underwhelmed. I'm still hopeful, you know, that they'll reach some of that potential. At least, you know, you want to hit on at least a few guys. You want a few guys to be able to come out of this. Like you said, Mayfield and Jackson have been the pleasant surprises in terms of their development. I'm looking forward to diving a little deeper into Will Grier at West Virginia. I think he's got some fun skills that are going to make this quarterback class a little deeper if he decides to come out this year. Again, not a given. But I do think this is going to be an exciting quarterback class. It's going to be a fun one, an intriguing one. I don't think it's got that, oh my God, we're going to see four quarterbacks in the top 10 because there's just not enough picks and not enough teams that need them, and it's going to be great. And I just don't say we didn't even bring up Mason Rudolph yet, who's, right, you know, been in that type of conversation too, but you know, his evaluation seemed to be all over the place. And it's just, there are going to be a lot of quarterbacks. I just think right now it's way more quantity over quality than we really expected in the offseason.
Right. I agree with you. I think it's going to be probably one of the more fascinating years I've studied the draft, if all of these guys declare, if most of them declare, because there's a lot of opinions out there and a lot of thoughts. But I think the tape reveals that a lot of these guys have growth, so it makes their landing spots at the next level really, really important, as you mentioned earlier. He is Luke Easterling. You can follow him on Twitter at Luke Easterling. You also can follow his work at the DraftWire, USA Today's draft site, where he is the editor and does really good stuff for them. Luke, always a pleasure, man. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, man. You enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, man. Trevor and I will be back tomorrow. We'll give you the NFL, the breakdown from some of the NFL, just a rundown of the NFL scores, and you know how you guys should check out mybookie.ag and spend your money accordingly with some of the things that you see there. But until then, thanks so much for joining us as always, and keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.